You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
If you know any Christianish sayings, you're likely to be pretty familiar with our brief text for today. Right after Jesus informs the disciples that he is going to suffer and die, he utters a kind of warning that's important enough to have been included in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, twice each. For some Christians, this has led to an assumption that suffering and a painful death is not just for Jesus, but an expectation that Jesus has for us as well. But notice that there's a lot more going on than the supposed goal of death on the cross. Listen for what Jesus says leads up to it. Denying yourself, losing yourself in following Jesus, and the crazily upside-down prospect that if you gain the whole world, you're going to forfeit your true self anyway. Essentially, Jesus is acknowledging that one way or another, you're going to lose yourself. The choice is, are you going to exchange yourself for what the world values or for what Jesus values? It's about a total commitment. The question is, and has always been, what exactly are those values Jesus is expecting you to lose yourself in? You have a choice. Which gospel?
Our words of wisdom today are from Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. Then Jesus said to them all, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me."
For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit them if they gain the whole world, but lose or forfeit themselves?
Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
If you were here 3 years ago, you might remember our series on Kurt Struckmeyer's first book, A Conspiracy of Love. In it, he laid out the premise that there are actually two different gospels in the New Testament, a gospel of Jesus, represented in the gospels of Mark, Matthew, and Luke, and the gospel about Jesus, represented by John and Paul. And sorry, but George and Ringo didn't contribute. Other ways of looking at the difference between the two gospels is whether it emphasizes the life of Jesus or the death of Jesus, or the way of Jesus versus belief in Jesus. One is afterlife-oriented, the other centered on the present. These two different streams of Christianity have existed side by side since the very beginning. Even the early followers of Jesus started to differentiate between the two. But today, their unexamined coexistence is sowing confusion and dissatisfaction. And where people start to grasp the difference between the two, they're dividing Christians into two irreconcilable camps. What I grew up with in a traditional United Methodist Church was a conventional Christianity that focused on sin and salvation. I suspect most of you did, too. Ask most American Christians, and if they could even articulate it, they'd identify personal redemption from God's righteous wrath as the main benefit of being a Christian. If you veer into talking about the transformation of people's priorities to include the struggle for justice in human society, you've lost them. With the bonus that you've now raised a question in their minds as to whether you're a heretic or not. So which gospel? How did we get to where there's even a choice? Primarily, it's because we've lost the main point of the story. Let's start by being clear about the terms we're using. The word gospel itself comes from an old English word meaning good news or glad tidings. In Greek, it's evangelion, from which we get the words evangelical or evangelism. And the way people toss around the phrases the good news or the gospel, you'd think there'd be some agreement on what they mean, but there's not. Ask most people on the street what the good news of Jesus is, and after giving you a blank stare, they might blurt out something like that Jesus died for my sins. Indeed, that's what most people have been convinced is the good news, and is a perfect example of the gospel about Jesus. Unfortunately, it's not biblical. It's clear in the opening of Mark that Jesus is going around the lake sharing the good news with people. So wait, is he walking around saying, "Hi, I'm Jesus, and I died for your sins"? What? People would have rightly dismissed him as a kook. But no, according to the text, the good news has absolutely nothing to do with sin or Jesus' death or much of anything embraced by practitioners of the gospel about Jesus. The good news Jesus proclaims is that the kingdom of God is here. It's now, and we're called to participate in it. And that's the gospel of Jesus. As Struckmeyer puts it, the gospel of Jesus is primarily a social gospel, announcing good news to the poor. It is the proclamation of the present and future kingdom of God, a just and peaceful human society. If you check out the words of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus' message is about the radical transformation that God was seeking in human lives and society. It's about the here and now. It's about the common good. It's about elevating the status of those at the bottom of the economic ladder. In other words, exactly what Isaiah said and what Jesus quotes as his mission, bringing good news to the poor. What are his words not about? Himself, or his role in some cosmic drama that saves the world. Those ideas were added in by Paul, John, and later writers, by those who sought to gain control over the movement. The primary culprit, Paul, essentially creates a new religion about Jesus from scratch. He puts the emphasis on salvation from sin. Christ died for our sins, and makes almost zero reference to Jesus' life and teachings. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul goes so far as to completely discredit the human Jesus as being of no concern to us. Paul, you're killing me here. Then, when John was written, Jesus is portrayed as some sort of a megalomaniac who never talks about the poor, utters not one parable, and always talks about himself in grandiose terms. In fact, as I pointed out before, sit down with the Gospel of John and the DSM-5's list of symptoms for narcissistic personality disorder, and, well, let's just say that Jesus doesn't come off looking very good. So, this gospel about Jesus deviates 180 degrees from the gospel of Jesus. The gospel about Jesus is a hyper-spiritualized drama about humanity being rescued from what is portrayed as a vengeful, wrathful God, and has led to a kind of faith that puts all its emphasis on forgiveness of the individual and personalized eternal life. Now, if you're following the gospel about Jesus, the gift of forgiveness is the goal. And to reach that goal, you have to believe certain stuff. And this is where it gets ugly. Every tradition has a different punch list of required beliefs. Jesus is Lord. Check. But wait, what does Lord mean? God raised Jesus from the dead. Check. But wait, physically or metaphorically? Jesus died for my sins. Check. But wait, what sins? Is it the stain of Adam or my ill will towards my neighbor? You must be baptized. Check. Wait, dunking or sprinkling? Infants or adults? You must agree with everything in the creeds. Check. Wait, which creeds? Nicene? Apostles? Korean? Assassins? Is it 2 things? 10 things? 20 things? Whichever tradition you grew up in has their requirements. And whatever the details, they have one purpose: to guarantee you a seat in heaven. Oh, and also that no one asks any questions. On the other hand, the gospel of Jesus emphasizes a kingdom of God, where Jesus' teachings stand in direct opposition to the values of the world. It's not about giving yourself over to dominating others. It's not about hoarding more stuff. It's not about believing the right things. Our passage today has Jesus suggest, let them deny themselves. What? Maybe other translations are less harsh. How about, let them forget themselves? Or even better, the New Living Translation, you must turn from your selfish ways. Well, there it is. In Jesus' kingdom of God, in the gospel of Jesus, our personal selfishness and the values of the typical economic, political, and domination systems of the world are reversed. The first will be last, and the last will be first. The greatest will be the servants. The powerful shall be brought low, and the lowly lifted up. The hungry will be filled, and the rich sent empty away. The kingdom belongs to the poor, the hungry, and the mourning. Are you getting it? The gospel about Jesus only demands mental assent. Just believe. Recite the sinner's prayer. Invite Jesus into your heart, and you're golden. Because anything you've ever done that's really bad wasn't your fault anyway. It was that damned Eve woman who listened to that talking snake. It's all about you. How much God loves just you, and how Jesus has a VIP seat reserved in heaven just for you. Everybody else can fend for themselves. But the gospel of Jesus requires reorienting how you live your life today, emphasizing compassion, generosity, and doing justice. In other words, denying yourself, losing yourself in following Jesus, and risking your life and resources to make the ideals Jesus taught happen in the here and now. To many, that will be akin to taking up a cross, yes? Look, the gospel about Jesus, the more traditional understanding, is the air most Christians breathe. And for what it's worth, it still leads some people to lives of compassion and justice seeking. But for many of us, it's become more of a stumbling block than anything. Many folks who grew up with that kind of conventional Christianity can't buy into it anymore and wonder, rightly so, if they can even call themselves Christians anymore. They don't know that there's an option. They don't know there's a path that values critical thinking and liberates people from the shackles of the gospel about Jesus. As those who embrace the gospel of Jesus, people of the way can choose a different gospel, a gospel that frees followers of Jesus from having to meet certain requirements, that liberates them from belief in strict doctrines, and releases them from any anxiety about reward or punishment in an afterlife. Instead, it's about pursuing a relationship with the mystery of the divine that transforms life in the here and now, according to the vision Jesus has set before us. Once upon a time, an ambitious martial arts student approached a teacher with a question. "Sensei, I'd like to improve my knowledge of the martial arts, and in order to broaden my knowledge, I plan to simultaneously study with another teacher in order to learn another style. What do you think?" The master responded, "The hunter who chases two rabbits catches neither one." Friends, for 2,000 years, Christianity has been chasing two rabbits. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. There are two separate Christianities operating in the United States right now. Call them conservative versus liberal, or traditional versus progressive, or Christian nationalism versus the social gospel, or fantasy versus reality. The bottom line is, there are two gospels, and each of us has to choose. As that great 20th century theologian Bob Dylan proclaimed, "Well, it might be the devil, or it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody." Which gospel is it going to be? The gospel of Jesus is about following a distinctly countercultural way and acknowledging that Jesus' original message was not about himself or belief or getting to heaven. Yes, Jesus' original message of the kingdom of God is just too costly for some. They're so busy gaining the world that they can't imagine denying themselves or losing themselves in following Jesus. So for millennia, the gospel of Jesus has been systematically hidden and intentionally misrepresented by the gospel about Jesus. So much so that today, the gospel of Jesus is not just lost on many folks. It's seen as heresy and a threat to true believers. The gospel of Jesus invites us to go beyond ourselves and live for others. And not just feeding those in need, sheltering them and clothing them, but working to change systems that are often set up to guarantee the permanent existence of an underclass that suffers in ignorance and need. Followers of the gospel of Jesus don't do good works to get to heaven. They do so because that's what Jesus has called them to do. Friends, Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom of God. And I'm sorry, it's not about you. It's not about your personal redemption. It's not about you avoiding hell and getting to heaven. Jesus said, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it." Get over yourself. It's about changed priorities. It's about social transformation. It's about being people of a way that changes the world for the better. Be well.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.wepuTloveFirst.org.